Welcome back to the Nightlife Podcast, Season 3, Episode, let me move this thing up, 18. I'm actually a little uncomfortable right there. Guys, today we are here from a new place in Doral, Miami. It's called Miami Kitchen Incubator, and I am with an all-time friend. It's actually the first time we ever speak English, so without further ado, my good friend, Cristian Soler, a.k.a. El Chichi.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you over. Yeah, it's very weird to be speaking English with you.
We'll get by.
We'll get by. We'll just relax.
If anything, we end up speaking Spanish, and we will just translate down here for you guys.
We'll just get the tequila in the back.
There you go. Like, all right, so we've known each other for a long time, a little backstory. Kind of in the entertainment industry because he's been singing for a while. Do you continue to sing?
Yes, we're with Pink Floyd Goliath, with just rock band. Now.
See, so that's the one thing he does in English, which is singing rock.
Yeah. Singing rock, like drums. I drum and sing. So it's with all the good old friends with Alex Oreja and Chael and
this
bunch of people. Yeah.
So anyway, today I'm going to talk about a subject that it's hurting. And I have a pain
in my paining butt. Me.
Seriously. And it's about, taking charge and doing and innovating. And when you think of an idea, you got to move on and get to it and make it happen. And the reason I'm saying it's painful is because what he's done here, it was brought up to me a long time ago. A little while back. And I was very impressed with the idea. And it was something that I wanted to do. But guess what? I did not act on it. So good for this guy. And he did. And he made something happen. It's my first time here at the Miami Kitchen Incubator. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is?
Yeah, I mean, to just address a little bit of what you were saying about the going into things, the actually taking the steps to do it. I think that it's hard to venture into entrepreneurship. And it's not for everybody. But I think once you do it once, there's no going back to 9 to 5. You can't go back to 9 to 5.
Right.
But there's a lot of things that you have to do. And one of the things is that you have to get with people that are good at what they do, because you can't handle everything. You can't handle marketing, numbers,
people
sales.
Who are actually better than you at what they
of
do,
course.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah. Right. So you surround yourself with good people and you have to find that drive within. But once you do it, then now you, there's no going back.
Right.
So,
I think it was Elon Musk that said, from Tesla, that he said, I didn't study at Harvard, but the ones that work for me do.
Yeah.
He did, it's that kind of thing, that kind of.
Yeah, that's the spirit. And so the idea came from watching a chef, a band member back in the day. He used to just make food.
Pink Goliath or a different band?
Before Mala Hierba.
Wow.
So Jose, he moved and he was in Madrid and then in Barcelona. He would cook and we stay friends and through Facebook, obviously. And he would sing and show things that he would make at home. And I was always thinking that he could make that food. Why doesn't he have his restaurant? He's so good. Everything looks so great. But it's the reality is that the food industry, if you want a restaurant, if you want to go through a food truck or anything, it takes a lot of risk and money. And maybe other people that believe in you and want to risk money and time, and the food industry and restaurant industry is really
right.
tough. So I was thinking there's got to be a way that he can start somewhere and prove his concept and start getting clients and grow and then outgrow
right.
the place and then have his own thing, but with a proven concept. So at this point.
This was about how long ago?
3.5 years ago.
Okay.
Because entrepreneurship I've been in it for three and a half years.
But entrepreneurship has gone a long way for the past 3 years. The growth and the amount of people that have gone into doing more entrepreneurial moves or realizing, there's a guy, Gary Vee, who says it's now cool. Now it's a cool thing. It used to not be a cool thing. I mean, I believe when I came into a promotion, nightclub promotion, I always saw it as entrepreneurship. We were like the Uber for clubs. We didn't have to own a club, but we were able to put people in different clubs and make a percentage of the different clubs by doing that. So, so you know, it was kind of, you know, that way for a while. But nowadays, coming into this kind of industry, like in a city like Miami, for example, it's super scary to think of maybe paying rent at a venue. You know, like it's one of the first things people look at. And they haven't even looked at staff, you know, and they haven't, you know, looked at all the other, you know, the cost of goods, and then just keep on going and adding and adding.
And there's a lot of people that come with money from other countries and they want to start something and they want to, you know, waste their savings, and they all of a sudden they venture into something. They don't know the city. They don't know the people here.
So and, I don't think we explained what the Miami Kitchen Incubator is exactly.
So from that concept, from seeing my friend struggle, and I was thinking it was like just a big place with kitchens and something like that, in co-working spaces, 4 years ago, we're booming now. Like you have WeWork now, Pipeline, you have a bunch of places.
Right.
But so a co-working space for chefs, right? And that it seems simple enough, but you don't know if it's gonna hold. So, right. You know, we just started looking around, and to get it from the idea to the business, okay? So we started looking and we saw a bunch of, one that was a commissary, like a bakery incubator in New York. We saw a Miami Union Kitchen in Washington, D.C. So, and we liked the concept of having like a trilogy. So it's the kitchen, like what we have here, 3,000 square foot facility with walk-in freezers, walk-in coolers, all the equipment that you see, mixers for bakers, anybody from food trucks to meal plan services, to caterers, people that are making products, people are making donuts, people are making popcorn. Anybody can work.
Right.
At
so it
a-
doesn't matter how small you are or how big you already are. There's, you know, some way you can use this space.
Yes, because you have the facility and you have the equipment, but you also have storage. So a lot, some of the hard things to do is to find freezer space, refrigerator space, right, and just like storage, because that that you can buy in bulk, that you can share things, and you need a place to store, right? So we approach Union Kitchen. So we have the kitchen, and then we have events that we find events around the city. And once we get hired, we ask our members if they want to participate in the events, therefore helping them generate revenue as well. So they're not only coming here to pay the membership, but they are also, you know, we help them generate some revenue through events. And the next stage, which is the third thing, is distribution. So Miami Kitchen Incubator is putting in place distribution channels through restaurants, stores, supermarkets, and places where we can place their product. People that actually have product that we can show, and just basically join our distribution side to help them generate more revenue and exposure and expose their product. So in a way,
so,
it's a
so
win-win.
So you're not only saving, but you're helping them sell.
Right. Well, I'm making money as well, obviously, but and we're just, the best thing that can happen to us is somebody comes here and they're making product and the product's out there and they outgrow the facility and they open their own facility, they open their own restaurant, their own food truck, and now it's like, it's a win-win for everybody, and they started here and they're always going to say, I started there, and now, you know, I scaled. So it's helping food businesses scale and grow.
Correct. You, there was one thing that you mentioned to me, you know, before we were speaking, and it was a concept called Ghost Kitchen.
Yes, so that's something, I was just in the South Beach Wonder Food Festival in one of the panels, and they were talking about, this concept has been around for a little bit, and now it's been solidified into this name of Ghost Kitchens.
By the way, it's not really ghost. It's not that
it's
scary.
It's here.
Actually, it's scarier if you get into the business without doing something like that. It's, it's kind of a, like a test.
Yeah. So say you have a kitchen in a popular space in, say, downtown Miami, right? And you have a restaurant. And the restaurant does really well, but you're paying high rent because it's a high retail space, right? And you want to see, okay, maybe I should go to Doral or Kendall or Hialeah and try my concept there. So having to come and deal with rent and go into a 5-year contract, and that and is scary because you don't know how it's going to react. So if you want to test the market, you can actually come to a place like this and start, like, use it as a ghost kitchen where you can now go through Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub, and test the market through delivery only and takeout.
Right.
And then
it'll even tell you where the people are coming from, the clients are coming from, and where you should, your location should be based. Even
you may think that your next restaurant should be in Doral, but all of a sudden you open through delivery, and all of a sudden like Kendall, or Hialeah, right. Hialeah. You're like, well, am I gonna go and open Doral just because I want to? My people right. and the people are ordering through this are in Hialeah. So then
you're, I don't know if you've thought about this, but I think you should add marketing to the whole concept too. The same way that you're doing, you know, you're going to be doing the delivery and all that part. Mm-hmm. They should be able to have through you the ability of marketing their product in the area where you are, and the ghost kitchen and all that. You know, I'm just
and
I can do that service.
The whole idea is that people feel really alone. A lot of people start from home and they just start working, and I don't cook. I eat a lot. But I have a lot of friends that do cook, and when they start from home, it's just like it's tough. So now you're coming in here, and you're like a WeWork, like a pipeline. Now you have a network of people. Say somebody else has an event, they invite you to the event. Say you're trying to do a label for something, or you can find a lab to do your nutritional facts or something. Somebody just did it, or somebody's been doing it for a while. Hey, what do you do it? Then now you're talking to other people that have gone through things that you are about to go through.
Right.
And then they can help you as well, just by networking in the place. Moreover, we have a part of the incubator, which is back there, with just Wi-Fi, printer, coffee, just a place so you can sit and do your everyday things. Mm-hmm. And that we can have it for workshops. We're gonna have legal team coming in here and just doing like a legal 101. Right. People from the talking about USDA that we're talking about it this morning. People that need resources,
correct?
Business planning and marketing. I personally will do the marketing and advertising. You have a business, you have a marketing plan. You come to me, I can sit down. We're not, if you need a logo or a website, we'll direct you to the place where you can get it. We try to get good prices for everybody, but we'll give you the support. Well, I should change this, you should change that. You should look into doing different type of contests for right. social media or whatever. But,
so they don't feel alone. That's one of the main things. I mean, I understand. I've been on the other side of the boat where we're thinking about opening a business and we're a little scared and we're like, what should we go into this one or not? Mm-hmm. And I've never seen the option. I mean, I'm more in the bar business, and I don't see how maybe we could take this concept into having a bunch of bars and sending, you know, ghost bars around. We got to think about the possibility.
Ghost bars.
But definitely it helps. When people are looking into opening any kind of new business, right now people are looking to not be alone, to, you know, a lot of people are looking at investors. Mm-hmm. You may not need investors when you're doing something like this mm-hmm. first. People are looking to save money, not have to spend so much in rent mm-hmm. and all those things. And that's one thing they're going to avoid here. Yes, they have to pay a fee. And, you know, I imagine it's a monthly fee or...
Yes. So the reason that there's a difference between the commercial kitchen space and an incubator, and we really want to avoid calling the people, say, oh, you're a commercial kitchen. Like, yes, but no, because we are
a
shared
incubator
space.
And you have commercial kitchen available.
Commercial shares. Yeah.
Right.
And so just because a lot of commercial kitchens are by the hour and you can rent by the hour, but you know, you find not everybody, but a lot of people that are renting by the hour, they might not take care of the equipment right. They might leave things dirty. They might steal.
You know who you are.
You know, I was watching you. And so, but when you're here and you have a 3-6 month or a year commitment, then now this is your place to work. This is your home. And then now you're seeing all these people all the time, and we're doing happy hour, per se. Right. That's one of the bar, happy hour, ghost bar, happy hours. Hey. So you start to get to know people, and now synergy. you're not gonna steal from somebody. Now you're gonna respect that he's working after you. You want to clean things up so he can have it nice. You start to get to know people, and right. that's what we're trying to have, a community. And this is something that you know from all these years, that people come from so many places that is hard to find. A lot of people call it the Latin people from Miami. There's no Latins in Miami. There's not just one nucleus of people that are Miami Latin people. They're Argentinians that have nothing to do with Brazilians, and that may not hang out with the Cubans and might not hang out with the Colombians and Venezuelans. And it's like that. So Central American people that are here, everybody that is cooking, they're now gonna find a community of people that are doing the same thing that they're doing. Even if you're,
hey, who knows? You may find a new fusion in the different types of
And that's what Miami is kind of all about, the clash, the cultural clash that we find. So now it's like, okay, so I might be from somewhere, you might be from somewhere else. We might not hang out or go to the same clubs, same bars, but we belong here as a community of food makers, or chefs and kitchens and caterers, or, you know?
Correct.
So that's the idea, creating a community. And so that's why we separate ourselves from the commercial, the typical commercial place that you can rent by the hour, which there are a couple.
Right.
And number two, we're the cleanest kitchen in Miami. I mean, one of the things that is actually better that I don't cook is that I'm concentrating on the space. I'm concentrating on the business, on the platform. That is what I want it to be for people. So we have we clean in depth once a week. It's clean, and we have our kitchen steward like just cleaning daily, checking the freezers, checking things, you know, because that's one of the things.
When it comes to like permits and stuff like that, does a business like this go through the same struggles that you have to open a restaurant? It's the same process, or is it different?
So for us, this was a catering kitchen and restaurant takeout. So through the hotels and restaurants in Tallahassee, that's what we're ruled by. So then everybody else, every concept needs their own thing. So they go through the Department of Agriculture to get their permits and that. And when they say, where are you cooking? Then they'll come here and check out the space.
Right.
And just kind of, that's kind of how they will go through. There's license for them as their business, and there's licenses for us that we take care of.
I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that are listening to this that are starting something related to a new product or something existent, but that they believe that theirs is the best. I know a few who have products out there that are amazing and haven't gotten to, like a Publix or a Sedano's or, you know, a supermarket in general or anywhere. Small amounts, they cook at home or whatever. And most of them are afraid to take that next, you know, that next step. So what would you say to those people, you know, in regards to taking that leap of faith and saying, you know what, maybe this is the way to go?
This is kind of like everybody goes through the same thing. Say you might open a club and say, oh, but the problem is the people that will come. How do I know people will come? Well, how do you know people will come, you know? And how do you know you're opening a restaurant, people are gonna come to eat? And so I have some people here that are afraid to take that leap. And they're like, the problem with me is sales. I'm like, you don't have a business. So figure out what you're gonna sell, but concentrate on your product. So when you come to a place like this, there's so many things that have been taken care of for you, pest control, utilities, you name it.
Right.
That you are able to concentrate on your product and on selling.
Well, the investment somebody would have to make to be able to have the access to this kind of kitchen, just that alone.
So you're coming to cook and concentrating on your product and in your sales and your marketing,
right?
Because, you know, something breaks, hey, this broke, I'm coming tomorrow, I hope it's fixed, and they are out. And we have to take care of it because we are the incubator. So you gotta concentrate on sales, and obviously that's what happens with anyway. If you have an advertising company, you concentrate on clients and sales and sales and sales. So you have to be good at sales, but you have to have a good product.
Right.
So you're concentrating on making good product here, and I have friends that open their own thing in a little restaurant somewhere, you know, in Dania Beach or something, and it's like, they paid okay rent. And they spend so much time taking care of the facility that it took a lot
I'll throw you a number out there, but in most restaurants, the ones that make it, because the reality is that most don't make it, the ones that make it, you're talking about 12 to 20% profit, really, in the end. Because people think that it's, oh man, I'm going to, I own a restaurant.
I'm going to get it.
I'm rich, and, that's great. I'm retiring. And no. And the other thing is that you realize that it's a business that you have to be there every day.
Yeah.
And from what I heard the people that are using this space, there are some that are doing, big things, and they come in 2 days, one for, prepping and one for packing, and boom, take it out.
It depends on how effective you are. I mean, so the memberships, you have a full-time membership. You're able to come here 24/7. You have an access code, and you can be up to three people, like you and two other cooks or chefs. You have storage. You have freezer. and you have your own workstation with at the bottom you can store stuff as well.
Right.
So we just manage, we don't have blocking of hours. You don't have to go online and say, I'm gonna be there from 1 to 4, because we don't work like that. So we try to book people and not overbook a time frame where a lot of people are using that time frame.
Right.
So if somebody from a meal plan comes from 11 to 3, we can have kind of a maximum of five, six companies working out of here. And beyond that, it will be a little bit tight. But then you have a baker that comes at 2 in the morning and is out by 6 delivering their bread, their croissants, their things. Those are never going to see each other.
Right.
So the shifts are natural shifts within their own company and their own dynamics, basically. So that's how we handle it. And then we have for people that are starting and they have their own like part-time jobs or jobs, that after 6 o'clock, we have nights and weekends where you can come after.
So it's pretty much 24 hours, you know, if they want access to it, they would have access if somebody wants to come at midnight and work till 5 a.m.
The full time, yes. But the nights and weekends, you got to come after 6. Okay. And then you can go until 3 in the morning, and then Saturdays and Sundays all day. So, you know, you're working, then you go home, whatever, and then you come here and then you're making donuts or you're making, you know, whatever, juices or whatever. So we give them an option, a cheaper option for that way, less costly.
Gigi, so where can people find information on the incubator?
Okay, so miamikitcheninincubator.com, MK Incubator on Instagram and Facebook, social media. Just drop us a message. You can book a tour. We're actually just booking tours. We want people to see the place.
Awesome.
It's sometimes it's hard to tell them what it is when they're like, I go cook and it's just like by the hour. No, you got to come here. You got to check it out and you got to see the whole concept of how it is. So we're booking tours. And it usually takes 15, 20 minutes to do the tour during the weeks from 9 to 6 with the tours.
Right. I mean, I can definitely say it's extremely clean. I was surprised when I walked in. I expected, it was going to be greasy around and smelly and all this thing. But, you know, so I know that this is going to be a big thing. I don't know where you see yourself in the next, 5 years, but I see this definitely growing for sure.
Hopefully helping a lot of people and opening more.
I think, that's the bottom line. In the end, that's like from everything we've spoken about, when you mentioned that part, I think that's what's going to make it even stronger, bigger. The fact that you understand it as such, the minute that people leave and they go to open their own thing, that means your job is done, and it was well done, because you got them, you helped to get them there. You were part of that process, and it's not like you're trying to figure out how they can go and
them.
Just keep them here.
But even then, when you were talking about like maybe there's ways to do marketing, this concept, and it was appealing to some of the investors that actually came into the project, is that it has so many legs, because if they do graduate and they leave, then maybe we can still work together and maybe we can invest with them to help them open something else. Maybe we'll be partners forever, you know? Or they go out and then, something happens and they are not doing well and they have to come back. So from the investor's point of view, it's a recession-proof concept, because when you're going through something, a recession or something, and people have to close their restaurants, they have to go somewhere, or if they want to keep going, they can come here, and they just like back up a little, gain energy, work, grow their business again, and then they're out. You know what
I mean?
So,
guys, I definitely want you guys to take one big thing from this, and it's the fact that I suck. I did not make it happen. When there's a good idea, it's don't be afraid. Do your research for sure. Make sure.
Yeah.
If you search and you don't find competition and you don't you look around and you go, nobody's done this before, and it's one of those ideas that you say somebody must have, and somebody should have, and you don't find it. Don't feel like they didn't do it for a reason. It's just because they weren't you. You're the one with the idea. So go ahead, make that happen. Move.
I would really suggest a Blue Ocean Strategy book for entrepreneurs, when you see it, kind of teaches you along so many things to see the gaps and the necessities of what sometimes industries just go with the flow and they have us just go through the same patterns of things and that. And all of a sudden you see like, but people don't want this. And I can, if I eliminate this, then I can cut costs here and I can open this something that people do want. And then it teaches you how to find your own ocean so you don't go into the red ocean, the blood, or people are fighting and slicing prices to keep alive. So when you have your blue ocean, then now you are dominating factors that only impact you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if a restaurant goes up and down, it doesn't impact an incubator, even right. though we're in the same industry, or a commercial kitchen. I'm not fighting to slash prices per hour. We're not doing that. We're doing memberships. Right. So, and then just the different things, right? Or what people really need, like resources.
Correct.
You're adding resources. Right. And it really kind of talks about like the circus and Cirque du Soleil.
Right.
And Cirque du Soleil has different factors from a regular circus.
True.
They don't have animals. They don't, you know, so it really gives you examples. You're like, huh. Right. So you're making your own, trying to make your own industry within the industry.
Right.
Blue Ocean Strategy, it helped a lot to just get concepts together in my head.
All right. So guys, when you go find that book, do not forget to go get one too.
Yes. Two for one.
On Amazon, The Nightlife Entrepreneur. And remember, you can find me at The Nightlife Entrepreneur on Instagram. Also, all the podcast episodes at nightlifepodcast.com. And
Julio, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Hope to see you guys over here.
Yes.
See you next week.